Good morning, and love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. We continue in Romans, and we finished Romans on Wednesday. What are the kids doing in here? Adrian and Dakota are here, right? If you got Sunday school, you're welcome to stay in here also, okay? It's up to you, okay? I don't blame you if you want to stay in here. It's a wonderful preacher, okay? The title of my sermon is Amount of Sin and Superabounding Grace, but Pastor Perry and I have had the opportunity to really get into the book of Romans, obviously. We've been doing it at Wednesday for Bible study and then preaching on it on Sundays. And we finished it this Wednesday. We did chapter 15 and 16. And what we've discovered, I've discovered anyways, it's like going into a mine full of diamonds, all right? And there's just diamonds everywhere, and you can pick one, but there's a gazillion others. And Earl wrapped it up best. What he said is, we were discussing what book we're going to study next for Wednesday, and he said, well, let's do Romans, okay? Because there's so much to it. You could do it over and over. We are going to study Jeremiah starting this Wednesday. So let's take a closer look at the lesson. Verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. So by whom did sin enter the world? By Adam, right? Adam and Eve, okay? And the guys will all say Eve, and the women will all say Adam, all right? But it's Adam and Eve, okay? Matthew Henry says, we see the world under a deluge of sin and death, full of iniquities and full of calamities, and isn't that the truth, okay? Now it is worthwhile to inquire, what is the spring that feeds it? And you will find it to be general corruption of nature. And at what gap it entered, and you will find it to have been Adam's first sin. It was by one man, and he the first man, that one man from whom, as from the root, we all spring. By him sin entered. When God pronounced all very good, there was no sin in the world. It was when Adam ate the forbidden fruit that sin made its entry. Sin had before entered into the world of angels when many of them revolted from their allegiance and left their first estate. But it never entered into the world of mankind until Adam sinned. Then it entered as an enemy to kill and destroy, as a thief to rob and despoil, and a dismal entry it was. Then it entered the guilt of Adam's sin imputed to posterity, and a general corruption and depravedness of nature. Adam, therefore, sinning and falling, the nature became guilty and corrupt, and so derived. Thus in him all have sinned. If Adam had not sinned, he had not died. So when sin entered the world, so did death. God's intention is that we would live forever with him, in a relationship with him. But because of our original sin, death entered the world. And it changed all of creation. It didn't just affect us. Now, some people will say, wow, that's pretty unfair. One guy sins, and we all got to pay the price for it, right? But be honest. Do you think we would have fared any better? No, not at all. Spurgeon said the benefit of having Adam represent us in sin. I always contend that it is a happy circumstance for us that we did not fall and were condemned in the bulk in our representative, because had we, each one of us, been individually put upon the same probation, we would have, to a certainty, all of us fallen. We are none of us better than our first parent was. And if the experiment had been repeated in the case of each one of us, it would have ended in the same sorrowful way. But then it must have ended finally and fatally. At least so we believe. For when the angels fell shining individually, there was no hope of restoration for them. But we happily had fallen through a representative, and therefore we could be restored by another representative. Do you see the wisdom of God in this? If we'd fallen like the angels, they're doomed to hell, right? But because we've had the representative, we have the representative Jesus Christ. Amen? Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as did Adam. pattern of the one to come. The gift is for how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Although Adam's sin was great, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is greater. Amen? And why is that? Who is Jesus? He's God, right? So whatever he does is going to be better than anything any human being does, right? So his grace abounds beyond sin, and I'm going to talk about that a little more. The Lord Jesus came into the world not alone to put away Adam's sin, but all the sins which have followed upon it. The second Adam has repaired the desperate ruin of the first, and much more. By his death upon the cross, our divine substitute has put away those myriads of sin which have been committed by men since the first offense in Eden. Think of this. Take the whole aggregate of believers and let each one disburden his conscience of its load of sin. What a mountain. Pile it up. It rises huge, as high as Mount Olympus. Age after age, believers come and lay their enormous loads in this place. The Lord has made to meet on him the iniquities of us all. What else? What Himalayas of sin? If it were only mine and yours, my brother, what mountains of division would our take? Amen, Daryl? You and me would be the Himalayas, all right? Okay. The great Christ, the free gift of God to us, when he bare our sins in his own body on the tree, took all those countless sins away. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Here is infinite grace to pardon immeasurable sin. Truly, the one man's offense abounded horribly, but the one man's obedience, the obedience of the Son of God, has superabounded. All right? This is written in the 1800s, and the reason I put that in there is because he said super, okay? So that's not a new thing, okay? Charles Spurgeon used super, okay? But isn't that the truth, okay? Just think of the sins in our life, okay? They can be mountains or molehills, you know? If you're like me and Daryl, they're like mountains, okay? But if you're like Pastor Perry, they're like molehills, okay? But there's people today who will say, well, my sins are just too horrific. I've just done terrible things. There's no way God can forgive me because I've just been too bad, all right? Well, the super grace of God in the blood of Jesus covers those sins and all sins. And if you're here today and you think, well, my sins are just too bad, my question to you is, what makes you so special? All right? Are you a greater sinner than any of the rest of us? Okay? No. And I like the image of the mountains and the Himalayas and the Alps being our sin. But remember the flood with Noah? What happened to those mountains? They got covered. And that's what happens with the blood of Jesus Christ. No matter what sins we've committed, they've been covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. So I stand here today and I tell you in the name of Jesus Christ that your sins are covered in his blood. You are forgiven. So forgive yourselves and get over it. Amen? When we accept Jesus as our Lord, give our lives to him, and live in a relationship with him, our sins are gone, washed in the flood of his blood and grace. Verse 16, nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Matthew Henry says there was much great power in the second Adam to make us happy. There was a much greater power in the second Adam to make us happy than there was in the first one to make us miserable. Why? We said it before. Because who was Jesus? God, okay? So there's more power in him to make us happy than there is in the first Adam in our original sin to make us miserable. Yes, we have lost, but look what we've gained in Jesus Christ. Spurgeon says, our lease of Eden and its joys has altogether expired. No more Eden. But we that have believed have obtained an inheritance which we hold indisputable. All things yours and Christ is God's. Jesus finished the work by which his people are saved. There is now no ifs in the covenant. There is not a perhaps in it from beginning to end. There are no chances here caused by unfinished conditions in it. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Our Lord has not only undone the mischief of the fall, but he has given us more than we have lost. And brothers and sisters, let me ask you, what have we lost as a result of our sins? We've all lost something as a result of our sins, right? 30 years ago, if I hadn't quit drinking, okay, I was living in the darkness. If I would have continued on that road, I would have lost my beautiful wife, Robin, and my boys, okay? And I probably would have lost my life, all right? What have we lost? Do you see why God doesn't want us to sin? It's not because he wants to just be a rule maker. It's because he doesn't want us to be miserable, okay? Marvin, it's good to see you, okay? We've missed you as an interpreter, okay? The other question, though, is what have we gained in Jesus Christ? He listened to you, okay? Jasmine was here last night, and that's what she said. She said everything. And isn't that what we've gained? And we had a discussion, Derek was here last night, about our lives before in the darkness. And when you accept Jesus Christ, everything is light. And you have a life where you didn't have a life before. And what Derek said is, we just had an existence. Been there, right, Robert? It's just an existence. It's dull, okay? It's miserable, right? And then you accept Jesus, and it's like somebody switches the lights on, all right? It changes everything, okay? And you're no longer stuck in the dark, all right? He also said, though, I said I remembered vividly when I was in the darkness. And it empowers me in my preaching because I remember the darkness, okay? And so did Derek, but he said, you know, I wouldn't change anything, Pastor. And he's right. If we hadn't been through that, we wouldn't have Jesus and have everything, right? I got a beautiful letter from Chris, who's in prison now. He's going to be doing, I think, 2.5 years out in, way out there, Florence, okay? He's going to be in Florence for 2.5 years. There for about a month or so. And he said, Pastor, he said, I thank God that I'm here. This is a guy who's doing 2.5 years, and he thanks God that he's there. And he said, without that, my life wouldn't have changed. He said, I'm a different person. He said, now I see, okay? And he thanks God for that. And that's not unusual, right? Where people who are in jail or incarcerated thank God that they're there because they have a new life. They have everything. Amen. Verse 18, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. So what was Adam's sin? Disobedience. Paul tells us, right? What's that? That what? Listening to Satan. But it's disobedience. And you know, theologians say, oh, it was pride. It was control or whatever. The scriptures tell us it was disobedience. He was given one command. All right? And he couldn't keep it. Sounds like me. Okay? Right, Robin? Take out the trash. I'd be burning in hell, I'll tell you. Okay. But disobedience. And what is Jesus' righteousness? According to Paul in Romans, his obedience. He was obedient to God even unto death, death on a cross. Amen? Matthew Henry says, the nature of Christ's righteousness, how it has been brought in, it is by his obedience. The disobedience of the first Adam ruined us. The obedience of the second Adam saves us. His obedience to the law of mediation, which was that he should fulfill all righteousness, and then make his soul an offering for sin. By his obedience to this law, he brought out a righteousness for us, satisfied God's justice, and so made way for us into his favor. Do we struggle with obeying God? Yeah. And if we're not struggling, we got a problem, okay? Because there's temptation, right? We're fighting our father, which we inherit. We're fighting Satan, and we're fighting the world, right? Our entire culture doesn't want us to be here this morning, okay? They think we're nuts for getting up and coming to worship, all right? An example of this with the world fighting against us, I talk about the culture a lot of times, but there's one thing that kind of irritated me. In case you didn't notice, I get irritated from time to time. That wasn't a joke. Anyway, there's a TV show. I think I've seen it once or twice. I know Robin likes it. It's called, it's about a couple who buys houses and flips them. They remodel them and flip them. Chip and Joanna Gaines, okay? They live in Texas. And the media tried to make, the culture tried to make a case against them because they go to an evangelical church and they said it's a hater church. And why is it a hater church? Because the pastor will not do gay marriages and he believes homosexuality is a sin. And because of that, the press tried to paint this couple as evil, bad people, okay? But fortunately, it backfired on them. But I give that as an example because that's the culture we're facing, right? They'll tell lies about us. They say we're racist. They say we're haters. We're lovers, right? And they'll say we think we're better than everybody, right? Everybody who's a sinner, please raise your hands. I wish they could see that, all right? Okay. What's that? We hate sin. That's what we hate. But we're all sinners. Okay? They don't get that part. Okay? Absolutely. Absolutely. And they'll say that's a hateful thing to say. All right? And once again, if you get back to what's really important is our souls and our eternity, right? Okay? Why not be honest with people? Because we're talking about eternity, right? You know, I don't want anybody to go to hell. Okay? Verse 20, the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but there where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Adam and Eve's sin of disobedience, destruction to all creation, not just to us, it affected all of creation. All right? Imagine, they used to play with lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, okay? Don't play with lions and tigers and bears, okay? Because there's been a fall. There's been a change, right? Creation has changed. But Jesus has defeated sin and death. And what Paul does, and it's a wonderful picture he paints, he personifies sin and death. And he paints them as tyrants that reign over us, okay? But at the same time, what he does is he paints grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, as a person also. And he's saying grace has conquered these tyrants. So we don't have to worry about death and sin anymore. In and through Jesus, we share in his victory. And ultimately, the gift of Jesus outweighs sin, death, the devil, and even Eden. Yeah, exactly. This is an example is what he's using. You know, the first Adam and Eve. And it's a powerful example. You know, do you see why I said it's like a mine of diamonds? You know. Okay. It's like a mine of diamonds. You can take any one of these points and it just cuts you to the core. The fact that we have a representative rather than us, okay? What a blessing, okay? That we have someone who represents us and that he's God himself, okay? Much better than us. And that's why if we don't think we have sin, we may have problems, okay? What's that? And you have no problems now? I need to see you afterwards. We all still have problems, right? We're all still sinners. Every day we sin, right? But that's okay because it's covered in the blood of Jesus. No matter how big the sin is, it's covered in the blood of Jesus. When we turn to Him and say, "Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner in need of Your grace," okay? I'm going to finish with some words of Charles Spurgeon because he really identifies what we have now. We've lost Eden, and people are going, "Wow, what a bummer. I would have loved to have been in the Garden of Eden, but we're going to have something better." And this is how Spurgeon describes it. "The Lord Jesus has also brought us into a nearer relationship to God than we could have possessed by any other means. We were God's creatures by creation, but now we are His sons by adoption. In a certain narrow sense, we were the offspring of God, but now by the exaltation of the man, Christ Jesus, the representative of us all, we are brought into the nearest possible relationship to God." We have everything, right? "Jesus sits upon the throne of God, and manhood is thus lifted up next to the deity. The nearest akin to the eternal is a man, Christ Jesus, the Son of the Highest. We are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones, and therefore we share His honors and participate in His triumphs. In Christ Jesus, man is made to have dominion over all the works of God's hands, and the redeemed are raised up together with Christ and made to sit in the heavenly places with Him, above all principalities and powers and all things that are. For these are the favorites of heaven, the beloved of the great King. No creatures can equal perfected men. They rise superior even to the angels who have never sinned. For in perfected men, the riches of the glory of God's grace is more fully seen than in pure, unfallen spirits. O beloved, has not the Lord Jesus Christ done much more for us? And ought we not to expect that it should be so? For the grace of God and the gift by grace, by the man Christ Jesus, are infinitely stronger forces than Adam's sin." And what he brings out is what we have Eden, right? But because Jesus was truly God, truly man, and He sits on the throne of God, there's thrones waiting for us because we are His body, right? We are the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And when we leave this world, we're going to have it's going to make Eden look like nothing, all right? And not only that, it starts now. Look at the relationship we have. We have everything as we have everything now, and it only gets better. No more crying, no more tears, okay? Nothing but eternal joy forever. We're the favorites of heaven. We're the beloved of the King, King Jesus. Tell me it doesn't get better than that, right? We have something to tell people, right? And that's why we can say Merry Christmas. I'll never forget when I quit drinking the first Christmas. It's like my eyes were open for the first time. Right, Daryl? You see the love of God in a baby in the manger, right? So I hope this Christmas is a special Christmas for all of us, and that we realize what grace we have that came in Jesus Christ, all right? And He's not a baby anymore. He's seated on the throne, and He's waiting for us to join Him. Amen? Brothers and sisters, all of our sins are forgiven. We now live in a relationship with Christ, and in Him we are the favorites of heaven. I love that. Rick is a favorite of heaven, so don't mess with him, okay? Perry's a favorite of heaven. You can mess with him, though. We are children of the beloved King. Wow. For us, accept His love and forgiveness today. Accept the new life He freely offers us. Amen? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are overwhelmed with Your love and Your grace. And although we've fallen through the first Adam, you have more than redeemed us, Lord. You have truly given us everything. And we love you and we praise you for that, Lord Jesus. We pray, come, Holy Spirit, enter our hearts now. And make yourself more and more real to us, Lord Jesus. That we know that you live and that you live in us. Lord God, we thank you that we have everything here and now with you, but we have something coming that is just going to be unexplainable, Lord. We thank you for the gift of something that's better than the Garden of Eden. And we ask, Lord, that you let our light shine brightly, that others wonder, what do we have? And we can respond, it's you, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we pray this in your precious name. Amen.